Dit is SBS Dutch.
Jennifer, first of all, I'd like to know how many pets you have yourself.
That's a great question. I have one dog, a little dachshund or dachshund called Olive, and two cats, Rusty and Audrey.
And are you taking them a lot out of the house or not at all?
Well, not so much the cats, obviously, but the dog, yes. I mean, she's little and cute and feisty, like all dachshunds are, and she's just great value in public spaces. She attracts people. People come up and talk to me, and little kids want to pat her. So I do take her wherever I can. So when I'm visiting family and friends, I'll often take her. Obviously, I take her to the park. I've got a little boy as well, so we spend a lot of time in parks. But the problem is, every time I want to do that, I need to jump in my car because I can't take her on public transport, even though normally I would travel quite a lot on public transport.
Yeah, this is your work, right? You're looking into how Sydney is treating pet owners in terms of the accessibility in public transport. It is very hard to take your dog to the city if you're not want to drive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's one other thing is that I would love to be able to take her into work every day. I mean, I think she would just brighten up my day, that's for sure. But she also would add something to the workplace. There are a few people who do bring their dogs into work, but that's because they live really close to where I work, which is, you know, University of Sydney, right near the city, and they can walk there. But because I need to catch the bus, there's no way that I can take her into work with me.
Why is that? Why are dogs, other than the special need dogs, not allowed on public transport here?
That's a really, really good question. And that's one of the questions that I've been asking of our Department of Transport and our Transport Minister for some time now. There's really no good reason for it other than it's the way that we've always done things. So our public transport system has prohibited people to take animals on public transport pretty much since its inception. And at the beginning, that was all about, you know, people not taking chickens and sheep and that kind of thing. But the regulation has just stuck. And as such, we're left with this historical legacy of prohibition of pets on public transport.
And is Australia a loner in this approach? I'm from Europe and my parents have a dog and I hear them telling, oh, we took her to the restaurant. You know, as long as she's quiet and just calm under the table, that's fine. Or we did a nice beach walk and I'm like, I can't do that here at many places.
Yeah, absolutely. Australia is quite unusual in that context. When we think about wealthier countries, many of them now do allow pets on public transport. As you say, mostly through Europe it's possible, the UK, increasingly North America it's possible as well. South America, it's absolutely accepted. Whereas here in Australia, we just maintain this outdated, sort of quite peculiar prohibition of dogs on public transport.
What surprises me is that you see dogs everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how come people do not start a petition or become angry?
Well, I mean, there have been a number of petitions that have been set up and submitted. There's one going at the moment actually run by Pet Circle, and they're trying to get, I think, 1,500 signatures to allow pets on public transport in Sydney. But I think one of the reasons is that it's about the way that we think about public transport in Australia. So in Europe, you know, in the Netherlands, public transport is something you use for all kinds of trips. It's something that, you know, you'll use to go and do shopping, take kids to school, all of that kind of thing. Whereas in Australia, we are so car dependent and attached to private cars that we sort of think about public transport as a poor sibling. You know, we will use it when we have to, for example, to get into the city or to do the journey to work when it's a really regular, predictable trip. But when it comes to what I call the messier trips of life, we default to the private car. So the idea of allowing dogs on public transport to, for example, be able to take your dog to a dog park seems quite alien to us because we're just thinking, well, you just drive to the dog park. You wouldn't catch public transport to a dog park. So I think that actually has a lot to do with it. We haven't really got angry about it because we don't realize the impact that it's having on the way we think about public transport and on the way that we travel around our cities and obviously on the way that we are in public with our dogs. Now, I think that there is this sort of emergent consciousness, but it's still very nascent, and I think it's receiving a fair bit of kickback both within the community and from the Department of Transport and the authorities that are in charge. So it could be a matter of watch this space, but it also could be a matter of, yeah, we need to fight much harder to get this kind of policy change happening.
Mm-hmm. In my own experience, there are a lot of things that are very unfriendly towards dogs or other pets, like housing, renting. If you want to rent a house and you have a dog, you are in big trouble if you have to find a place. Owners can say, nope, no dogs allowed in my rental. Like I said, the beaches in Sydney, there's very few places where you can walk, even with the dog on the leash, along the beach. But still, almost half of the Sydney-siders, they have a dog.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely. No, I mean, we've got some of the highest rates of dog ownership in the world. 40% of households in Sydney has one or more dogs. I think it's got a lot to do with, again, getting back to that idea of the private realm versus the public realm. So dogs have been seen as something that are part of the private realm. And when you think about the kinds of housing that dominates Sydney, until very recently, it's all detached dwellings with a big backyard. You know, that's where the dog stays. But increasingly, we're living our lives in public. So more and more of us are living in higher density, you know, apartments and so forth. More and more of us are traveling by public transport, and we're going out more. We're getting out and about in our neighborhoods more. And as a result, we're bringing our dogs with them because they're awesome, right? They're our friends. So I think there's just this still cultural kind of reticence to accept that dogs are okay to be in public, that they're not just supposed to be confined to our private realm, that they are animals that can contribute something to the public as well. I mean, there is actually research that proves that societies where there are more dogs and there are more dogs out in public have better sense of belonging, less experiences of loneliness, and better community fabric. So the community fabric is stronger in those societies. So it's a good thing to have our dogs out there. But in Australia, to date, we've seen dogs as a fairly private sort of affair, something that should be kept within our house. And I think we're just getting used to it. And the regulations are taking a little bit of time to catch up.
Mm. Of course, as a dog owner, I would be, yes. But the other half of me, I hear someone in my ear saying, but I don't like dogs. I'm scared. And imagine I'm in the bus and then someone enters with a dog. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the other side of the story, right? So dogs are really polarizing. There are dog people and there are not dog people. And I totally understand that. I think especially if you have had a bad experience in the past or if you have allergies or something along those lines, then it's not fair that you are, you know, forced to share a bus or a train carriage or something like that with a dog or sit next to a dog in a restaurant. But there are ways that we can regulate that and manage it, and that's what cities all around the world are doing in terms of allowing dogs on public transport. I think the other side of the coin, though, is that you mentioned before, and I know that the Dutch are very well known for this, having lived there for a little bit myself, they're rule followers. So people in Europe tend to have what we call high respect for authority. And that means that once a regulation is put in place, that regulation is followed and the community can be trusted to do that. Whereas here in Australia, we have relatively low scores on that power, distance, or respect for authority kind of cultural attribute. And as such, we do need to be a little bit more heavy-handed with our regulations because, you know, we're not prone to always following them. So I think that's another little piece of the picture here that needs to be factored in.
How do we get there, do you think?
I think it would be slowly, slowly. So I think the first thing we'd have to do, I mean, just speaking for public transport in particular, is try and anticipate some of the things that people would have concerns about. So things like, smell, allergies, dog attacks, people who are afraid of dogs. And then we need to look at other cities and other jurisdictions where they've done this in a way that is safe and that works well. So, for example, in Amsterdam, they have different regulations of where you can take your dog on the train. And the bus systems, I think there, this is just from memory, there are special spots on the bus. In Copenhagen, they have particular routes where you can't take your dog on a bus route. And they also have particular times where you can't take your dog on particular buses. So, I mean, they are very up to speed when it comes to their technology, and they'll actually be able to designate a specific bus service as dog friendly or not dog friendly in real time. So you can look at the app and say, well, I can't take my dog on that bus.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's pretty amazing. In other cities, they'll quite often have time of day restrictions, so you can't take your dog in peak hour. They usually will charge ticket for the dog, which means that you can use that for any cost recovery if that is required. So we'd have to look at what kind of regulations we would need to impose. We'd have to make sure that we communicated those effectively. And then I think the next thing that we would do is a few trials. So designate a few lines, a few different public transport services where it was okay to take your dog, and we'd see how it worked. I think one of the things that when I'm communicating this work, I get all these questions about all the things that could go wrong. And I often say, it's not as though we're going to be inundated with people traveling with their dogs. The next time you hop on a train, you're not going to be faced with a carriage full of, terriers or whatever. I've traveled in places where they allow pets on public transport, and in some cases, I've not seen any dogs. So it is just going to be a matter of softly, softly educating the community, managing issues as they come up, and trying our very best to make sure it would be a very smooth transition. Now, that obviously puts a lot of onus as well on dog owners to ensure that their dog is the kind of dog that is able to go in public, and in a confined space. And that's again another big part of the puzzle, is just ensuring that people get to know their dogs and get to understand that it is not appropriate to bring a dog into a public space if that dog is not comfortable there. And that's another thing I think where Australians are not great at following that kind of advice. I think it's in Austria they have a test that the owner has to go through to be able to get a ticket for their dog. And so they'll have a regulation that sort of says, you have to have done this test before you can take your dog on public transport. Now, interestingly, the test is all about the owner, not about the dog. And it's to ensure that the owner knows whether or not their dog is going to be comfortable and whether it's appropriate for their dog to be in a confined space, such as a bus or a train carriage. So again, that's another thing that we might think about implementing if we were going to go forward with this. The main issue I get with that is that people say, oh, but that's such an expense. It's such a privilege to have a dog. You should be able to, travel with it if you're going to get one, blah, blah, blah. But I say, well, if we're buying a ticket for the dog, you can then charge for that kind of expense. So there are all sorts of ways that we can get it over some of the barriers that are there.
Yeah, it almost sounds a bit like, years ago we had trains with carriages for people who could smoke, and you could have a carriage for people who like dogs and want to travel with a dog or without.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do in most places. There are dog-friendly carriages. And if you don't want to travel with a dog, you don't have to hop on that carriage. I mean, again, I think that's why it's so important to make sure that there are regulations around peak hours. I mean, I think in Sydney, That is another one of the reasons why we haven't moved forward with this is because, let's face it, our public transport system is a bit of a dog's breakfast, pardon the pun. It's not a great system as it is, and to put one other stressor on it, I think is perceived by the authorities as, you know, the straw that could break the camel's back, so to speak. A lot of our services are overcrowded as it is, you know, not running to time, etc., etc. So I think that's another piece of it, is that our system isn't great. You know, if we had the kind of system that they have in the Netherlands, we wouldn't be so worried about one little thing going wrong. But because so much already goes wrong with our system, it's just adding to, I think, the problems. So I did a survey quite a few years ago of about 1,500 Sydney dog owners, and I found that there are actually 2.4 million car trips in Sydney per week with a dog. And of course, allowing dogs on public transport is not going to take all of those cars off the road, but it's a step in the right direction. I think we really underestimate the things that people are using their car for, and the way that our public transport system just doesn't cut it, doesn't accommodate those kinds of trips that we want to do. And dogs on public transport is just one case in point.
Fingers crossed for dog owners, and thank you so much for explaining.
Thank you.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.